This is Mornings with Kale in Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA.
Oh, you think you're in the danger zone, huh? Hey, well, John Clark here with you. Gail has taken one of her deserved days off, and I'm glad to be here with you. I want to remind you that it is right now, at this very minute, 7:07. Great airliner. No, it's a time. It's time. It's 7:07 or 7:07 if you're a purist. Okay. I also want to remind you that this time check is sponsored by the folks at Candlelight Dinner Playhouse in Johnstown, where Shrek the Musical takes center stage through August 22nd. For tickets and show information, visit ColoradoCandlelight.com. Candlelight Dinner Playhouse, Broadway in your backyard. Yeah, what a great place, and we're so glad to have them as one of our sponsors here. Yeah, just awesome. Well, John Clark here for Gail today. As I mentioned, we're just having a great old time. If you'd like to check in, you can give us a call. 970-353-1310. Ryan would be glad to entertain your calls, and I'd like to talk to you, too. We've been talking about the voting situation, how we have to redistrict and reapportion in Colorado. We're going to get apportioned this time, 8 congressional seats instead of 7, because we're growing. So thank your neighbors who just moved here, because now you get more representation in Congress. Okay. You might have other things you don't want to thank them for, but be sure this is one good thing. Okay, now, if we take a look at the requirements in this thing, it becomes, matter of fact, is there are all these rules as to how you do this, and it gets somewhat complicated, and I think in some ways a little bit contradictory. You have to have precise mathematical population equality between those 8 congressional districts. Well, it turns out the population of Colorado, and I'm sure this is real precise, right to the minute, going to be 5,773,714 people. Whoops, somebody else just moved in. It's 15. Oh, dang, they brought their family. We're up to 20. All right, but you see how it changes quickly. But that's the number they're using because that's the census number they have that's preliminary. Okay, if you divide that up, you have to keep each of those 8 congressional districts about the same. That puts 721,714 people in each district, or give or take the ones that just moved in and out. Okay, contiguity is really important. They have to be contiguous. You have to be able to travel to all parts of a district without ever leaving it. All right, think about it. All right. That means, yeah, you can't fly. It has to be contiguous in terms of travel. And I think that the courts haven't really said that I know anything about this. That seems to me there needs to be a road that connects all of those places so you can travel to those places without having to fly. Okay, Voting Rights Act says that you can't prohibit in any state form a redistricting plan that results in a denial or abridgment of the right of any citizen of the United States to vote on account of race or color. And that's all good because we need to make sure that everybody, no matter who, gets equal voting rights in our system. But it does get a little bit difficult when you start to look at the geography and the demographics of certain areas of Colorado especially. But you have to satisfy that condition. Then you go on and you have to have communities of interest. And they list things that would include but not be the only examples. Agricultural areas, educational issues, employment, environmental issues, industrial areas, public health issues, rural areas, trade areas, transportation issues, urban areas, water needs and supplies, and issues of demonstrable regional significance. Holy mackerel. When you throw all these together, are you starting to see the challenges that these people have on this commission to do this? Well, you cannot consider relationships with political parties, incumbents, or political candidates. Okay. In other words, anybody who's in office right now, incumbents, nope. They may just have it has no bearing on how you draw these lines, who the incumbents are. All Colorado subdivisions, it must be as much as reasonably possible to serve the whole political subdivision, such as counties, cities, and towns. So we're in trouble right now, I think, here in Weld County, and something needs to change quick because they've divided in this plan Weld County into three districts. No, I don't. To me, that flies in the face of this rule. Got to fix it. And I think everybody here in Weld County probably agree with me. I know your commissioners do. They're pretty upset, and they ought to be. All right, then county's staff, has to take into consideration the congressional districts and the preliminary plan. And, on and on and on. These rules, there are paragraph after paragraph here. I'm not even going to bore you with it other than to tell you, this is crazy. You can't. Examples of cities and towns situated in one county with portions of the city in another county. Well, we've got one here. In Windsor, there is a portion of Windsor that's in Larimer County. The bigger portion of Windsor is in Weld. So you have to kind of take that into consideration when keeping these political subdivisions together like towns, cities. Oh, then they want the thing to be compact. And it's got to be as compact as reasonably possible. And there are various mathematical formulas. And then they go into the mathematical formulas you use. You ever hear of the Riok score? No, me neither. And did you hear about the Pillsbury-Popper score? These are ways, I'm serious. These are mathematical calculations that you can make based on population and area to determine the compactness of a city or a county or whatever. The Riok and the Pillsbury-Popper scores. Oh, you got to be real nuts to figure this out. All right. Oh, then that wasn't enough? Oh, no. We got to have competitive districts. The Colorado Constitution requires that there, due to the extent possible, the maximum number of politically competitive districts. In other words, a Democrat or a Republican or an independent. Aha. And that's the wrinkle in the thing. Because there aren't a lot of independent candidates, are there? But they need to have an equal shot at this in the way that particular area is designed, that district is designed. Oh, my gosh. And then they take at the end of this whole report that goes on for six pages, and they say, this I love, due to the preliminary nature of the data staff used to draft the preliminary plan and the fact that the competitiveness of districts has the lowest constitutional priority of the factors that must be considered in drafting the preliminary plan, staff did not prioritize the competitiveness of the districts in the preliminary plan. Huh? This is something to keep bureaucrats busy for a long, long time. And then you've got these people who I questioned, as you heard a little bit ago, based on who these people are, who are the unaffiliated folks who would kind of bring the four votes into this whole process that might be a little less political in nature. And I read to you the ones that are in the congressional group, and they all look like they're pretty liberal folks. Just from where they live, the organizations they hang out, and so on. I think we've got a little better chance in the legislative districts. I found that one there was pretty well associated with a lot of people I really like in the oil and gas industry, former Republican leadership in the Colorado House of Representatives. Well, to be exact, Frank McNulty was the Speaker of the House. Melissa Kuypers-Blake, who is a Brownstein lobbyist, and Chris Castilian, he's an oil and gas guy. And J.J. Ament, well known for his expertise in ag and other things. His dad was the president of the Colorado State Senate. So I kind of like the legislative folks who are U's a little better, and the R's are like a lot who are in this thing. But anyway, this is all going to happen. It has to happen. And so we can all vote in 2022 for our congressional folks, and we are going to also have a Senate race. So it all has to be figured out. Okay. Well, I'm over the time a little bit. Ryan is in there chomping at his bit, and that's not a pretty sight. So let me give you this information. This is Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA. We're coming to you from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios. I'm John Clark, in for Gale.
The Power Trip. Weekdays at 11 on 1310 KFKA. If you miss any portion of Mornings with Gale, go to 1310kfka.com to download the podcast today. Back to Gale.
Round, round, get around. I get around.
Yeah, get around, round, round. I get around.
I get around.
And down the same old strip.
I gotta find a new place
where the kids are hip. Oh, it's a good song. Listen to that organ. That's a good organ. Mm-hmm. I love this. This is good stuff. Thank you, Ryan. He's just so happy to help us. Gee, I like that. Oh, that is so good. Whew, Beach Boys. Only better band than the Beach Boys doing surf music? The Astronauts. I'm always talking about the Boulder, the Colorado guys, the fabulous Astronauts. If you're old like me and you remember the Astronauts, give us a call, 353-1310. We can reminisce about our time at Tulagi's listening to the Astronauts in the 60s. Mm-hmm. Sold more albums in China. No, Japan, than the Beatles. Really? Really? Okay, well, I got a story here that I think this is interesting. When we look at the richest people in the world, do you care? Well, I just am amazed. Do you know that the richest person in California is Mark Zuckerberg? Do you know how much that guy's worth for inventing Facebook, which I don't even understand? I don't do Facebook. The best way to keep a secret from me is put it on Facebook. I'll never find it. That guy's worth $95 billion. Whoa, that's a lot of money. I compared that. You know, the state with the lowest, richest people? What would that be? Mississippi? Yeah. Well, you've heard, I'm sure, the Alabama state motto. You know what the Alabama state motto is? Well, at least we're not Mississippi. So, okay, there are two guys in Mississippi who are the richest guys in Mississippi. They share $2.4 billion, a measly $2.4 billion. They are the lowest, highest people, money-wise, in all 50 states. Zuckerberg, he's right up there, but you know what? You go up into Washington State, yeah, you got it, Bill Gates. And then Bezos, even higher than that, at $170-some billion. Wow, that's a lot of money. But let's take a look at Colorado, because we have some wonderful people with a lot of money here in Colorado. This year, there are 660 more billionaires than last year. The world's most prosperous class of people gained over $5 trillion in net worth in 2021 over 2020. Well, this is since March 2020. Billionaires became nearly $10 billion richer since then. Who's the richest guy in all of Colorado? A fellow named Philip Anschutz. He had a little tough time. He lost a billion, but he's still got lots of billions. He's a $10.1 billion guy. And so, compared to, say, Zuckerberg of Facebook, who's got $95 billion, our richest person here, Philip Anschutz, he is a good guy. He gives a lot of good money to good causes. He just is an awesome fellow. He's 81 years old, and he is now the 224th richest person in the world. That's not a bad ranking when you got that kind of money. But I'm grateful to him because he does a lot of good things here in Colorado. I'm sure you know about the Anschutz Medical Campus down in Denver, associated with CU hospitals. Okay, here are the eight other Coloradans on the list, and one here from Northern Colorado. Charlie Ingram, he's the co-founder of Dish Network and EchoStar. He's got $9.6 billion. John Malone, CEO of Telecommunications, got $7.8 billion. And on down the list here, here's one from, Larimer County, Pat Stryker. The Stryker Corporation. You ever go in a hospital and you look at the equipment there, the beds, the cabinet? It says Stryker on it. Well, that's her grandfather who did that. And she is also the co-founder of the Bohemian Foundation. She's worth $3 billion. I'm grateful that Pat Stryker is so generous and is here in Northern Colorado. Sometimes I add to my thank you prayer to Heavenly Father, I say, and please make her Republican. But she is a very fine woman, and I've had the honor of photographing her family, and She it's great to have her. I hope she stays here in Northern Colorado. So anyway, do you care how rich these people are? You know what? I don't. I really don't. I am blessed. But I did many, many years ago take a vow of poverty and become a photographer. Professional photographers, you have to do that. And then the thing that I also like to do that I like radio. Oh, gee, many Christmas, John. You couldn't do worse or better. But life's not about money. Tell me that, and I'll believe it. Okay, now I wanted to get back to this story out of the Greeley Trib. This is one that is kind of concerning to me because it has to do with a lot of things going on in our world right now, especially in our country, with the police and the citizens. I am a big, big supporter and fan of police. I have a son who is a post-certified law enforcement officer here in Colorado. He has been working as a reserve officer and none right here in Weld County. He's now moved to Colorado Springs and about to change his affiliation to maybe another organization down there. But I honor and I respect and I appreciate and I love cops. But there are some bad guys in the cops, and they need to be weeded out. And as soon as we get back from what I'm about to tell you, that you need to hear, then I'm going to tell you about some of the things that have gone on here in Greeley. Specifically, we'll talk about Officer Ken Amick. It was on our news, and it probably will be here at the bottom of the hour. We'll get back to that real soon from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios here at Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA. I'm John Clark in for Gale.
What's happening in your own backyard? Listen to NoCo Now with Tanner Schwint on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA. The UNC Bears play on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Papa's got a brand new bag.
Ah, we got 737. We get all these airplanes in the time. That's 737, 707. Oh, never mind. John Clark, in for Gale. Glad to have you with us. Give us a call, 353-1310. That would be 970-353-1310. We're just sitting here in the Auto Collision Specialist Studios this morning. Have a great time. So hang in there. Okay. There's a big kerfuffle. That's a very scientific word, a kerfuffle, going on over in Fort Collins about something their city council did. Having been a former, I am a former member of the Fort Collins City Council way back in the what were called the good old days. Okay, that's when we brought Anheuser-Busch here instead of it coming to Greeley. Stuff like that. Okay, they made the decision, not me. All right. Fort Collins Council last Tuesday gave initial approval to appropriating $250,000. Folks, that is $250,000 of the city's general fund reserves to a pilot legal defense fund for immigrants seeking citizenship or establishing lawful presence. That means they're going to spend $250,000 of taxpayer money in order to help people who are here illegally. Now, I think in America, we are losing track of what we are. We have always been referred to as America, the great melding pot. I have ancestors who came through Ellis Island. I have ancestors who just seem to have been around here forever. Nobody can figure out how they got here. And I have some that came fairly recently in my wife's family, her grandmother. Never did really establish permanent residency in the United States until late in life. She lived in Sweden. Her grandfather came here long enough just for a few years and then was a permanent resident of Sweden. But yet, we take all these people and we've blended them into a melding pot. But you know what's happening here in America? We're turning into a tossed salad. Now, I know metaphorically you're saying, what are you talking about? Melding pot. Well, a melding pot is where everybody gets stirred in and becomes a part of what's in the pot. A tossed salad, everybody remains a tomato or a olive or a chunk of lettuce or a carrot or whatever, and you retain your identity. I think the beauty of America is our melding pot, where it doesn't matter if my relatives came from Ireland and Scotland and my wife's came from, you know, I even have a bunch from Sweden as well. We just came here, but we don't care. We're Americans. No matter where you came from, you are now an American. Did you come from a Hispanic? Great, you're an American. But that's the melding pot. But now we're like a tossed salad where we're all maintaining this background we had before. And I don't think that's necessarily good for our country. I think the beauty of the United States is the melding pot and not the tossed salad. But nonetheless, we've got these people who have come here against the law. There's a big debate now as to who started the mess. I kind of think Trump had cleaned it up quite nicely on the border. And yet we see Biden come in here and I think he screwed it all up. But there are others who would disagree with me and say, no, it's Trump's fault. Everything's Trump's fault. Now, this vote on the city council to put this $250,000 into this program was not without controversy. In fact, it was a split vote, 4-3. Council members Susan Gutowski, Kelly Olson, and Shirley Peel, along with many public commenters, were opposed to this ordinance. I have an email from a friend of mine who sent it and said, this is crazy. What's going on? We need to stop this. And I appreciated hearing because I, even though I'm a former member of that council, I do not follow religiously what they do anymore. Just sit back and I'm amazed and appalled. Well, what they want to do is they want to build trust within the immigrant community. That's one of the goals of this program. They say that the estimated unmet need for detention and deportation cases in Fort Collins is between 75 and 100 per year. Affirmative cases, meaning DACA, naturalization, or legal permanent resident cases, they're about 400 a year. Well, these are the people who are not here against our laws, but take advantage of the process that you go through to become an American. It's fine. It's happened for most of us. Well, at some point, probably all of us. Mayor Jenny Arndt supported the ordinance in part because the money will go straight to providers. Well, that means, you know who they're going to pay with this little pilot program? Lawyers. Yeah. They say that somebody who's having the detained immigrants is what they call them, who have an attorney are 10.5 times more likely to avoid deportation than those who don't have representation. So that's one of the points of this money being set aside, the $250,000, is to support between 15 and 20 deportation cases a year. Okay. And the pilot program would run for 18 months for $250,000. That's what you get. And you help 15 to 20 people a year who are coming here without documentation or whatever you want to call them. And if you look at that, they say there are up to 100 per year coming. That this is a small portion of them that can be helped by all this money. You do the math and you figure out we're talking millions if you want to help them all. And this is but a pilot program, and if they decide it's really cool and a good thing, maybe they will decide to spend millions on it over in Fort Collins. I don't see it. I think that we do have ways people can come to this country legally, and that's fine. We're a nation of immigrants, as I've been talking about all morning, but it just doesn't cut it. A lot of people supported this. Fuerza Latina, La Familia, which is the family center over in Fort Collins, La Cocina, Isaac of Northern Colorado, the BIPOC Alliance, Colorado Immigration Rights Coalition, Foothills Unitarian Church, yeah, the Mennonite Church. It's just they all supported this. And on one hand, I can understand people who are coming here and need help. But on the other hand, they need to come here according to our laws. You and I, who have lived in this country all our lives, most of us, have laws that we have to abide by. If not, we get in trouble. We do. We pay fines. We can go to jail. We can go to prison for long times if we don't follow our rules and our laws. Why should we not expect that people who are coming into our country follow our laws? The ones who are not following the law here in our country right now, we deal with them. And we have penalties for not following the law, just as it ought to be. But people who come into our country without legal status, I guess you'd say, for doing that, we're going to somehow help them to somehow stay here? I don't get it. I don't get it. There just needs to be some consequences for actions. And a lot of times in this world, we don't give consequences for actions. As a parent of 5 kids and a grandparent of 20 and a great-grandparent of 4, I can tell you that if my kids don't give their kids consequences for doing things that are wrong, I'm not going to be very happy as a grandpa. I'm just not. So anyway, I go on about this for a long time. But weird things happen in Fort Collins, and here is another example of one of those wacky things that they've decided to do. At least 4 members of the Fort Collins City Council have decided to do. My compliments to the other 3. More real soon, right here from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA. I'm John Clark, in for Gale.
It's a party in Northern Colorado's Voice. 1310 KFKA. The Block Party, Wednesdays from 4 to 10 p.m. Today's headlines, podcasts of Mornings with Gale and more, and a schedule of upcoming sports broadcasts. Find them at 1310kfka.com.
I'm going to tell you something you probably already knew. It's 7:51, if you have a clock. If not, I'm glad to be of help. Absolutely. John Clark, in for Gale this morning. Glad to have you with us. We would love to hear from you. 970-353-1310. And Ryan, in the other room, would pick up the phone, be very, very, very polite to you, and give you a chance to get something off your chest or comment on something that I've said that really hacks you off. You know, that's fine. That's all good. Well, anyway, I want to talk about something that's we're going to talk more in the 8 o'clock hour with Jared Pfeil from the Colorado Department of Transportation. But there's another issue that was brought out a little while back in the Greeley Trib as a guest editorial that was a reprint from the Colorado Springs Gazette. And I think this is important because this is interesting that the Colorado Springs Gazette would start out an editorial by saying President Joe Biden is right. Now, well, I'm just saying Colorado Springs is a fairly conservative place. And for their newspaper, the Colorado Springs Gazette, to say that, and especially for the Greeley Trib to reprint it, is interesting. Well, here's what it goes on to say in this editorial. The United States has an infrastructure crisis, and fixing it is long past due. President Donald Trump might be in office if he had delivered on infrastructure. And I think that's interesting. And then it goes on to say there's one big problem, and it goes back to former President Barack Obama tried to resolve the infrastructure challenge with shovel-ready jobs. You remember that? He said, yes, we're going to get out there, we're going to get our shovel-ready jobs, and we're going to get them going. Well, here's the problem. He was talking about shovel-ready jobs that didn't exist. Why? Well, mostly because of excessive regulation and the dearth of skilled workers willing to work on these kinds of jobs. Now, that's way before COVID, okay? COVID decimated the workforce even more in that specific area. Well, Biden wants to have a massive corporate tax increase, and he wants to fund these jobs. Now, that's been negotiated a little bit more with the Congress, to the point that the Republicans had a much less expensive one. I think theirs was, what, $700 billion or something. And they finally came out just a little bit over, right at a trillion, give or take a little, that they're looking at now. But, and Biden has been going back and forth over the last few days of saying, I'll sign it, I won't sign it, I'll sign it. You never know what he's going to do. I'm not sure he does either at this point. But the problem is that we do have a terrible deficit in infrastructure in the United States of America. And that is probably as well observed here in Colorado as anywhere in the country. We're going to have Jared Pyle on here from CDOT, as I mentioned earlier. And I'm going to have to tell him that there are parts of I-25 between here and Denver that have not changed since I was in high school. That is a long time ago, folks. I'm an old man. And it's a long, long time ago that I can point at parts of that road that are identical to what they were when I was in high school. Doesn't make a lick of sense. Now, we're working on I-25, but I'd suggest we're probably doing it way too late. As far as I-70 west of Denver going through the mountains, that is a joke. You go up there and you're going to get stuck in a traffic jam almost any time you go. Heaven forbid, try it on a Friday before a holiday weekend. Oh, I mean, it's unreal what it's like. We've got a tunnel, two tunnels, in fact. They should be bigger and longer, and that's really expensive. But what have we been doing? Well, you know what? The state legislature here in Colorado has not been spending money on roads. They have found other little projects that they want to do that have been to the deterrence of having better and good roads. Well, I get me going on this, and I'll do some more on this when we talk to Jared Pyle. And we're going to just kind of have to... Well, they're telling me to stop. It's as simple as that. Right here from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios at 1310 KFK, we are Colorado's, Northern Colorado's voice. And I'm John Clark in for Gale.
Hear Mornings with Gale, weekdays 6 to 9 and Northern Colorado's voice, 1310 KFKA. More local talk coming up next with NOCO Now and Northern Colorado's voice, 1310 KFKA.
Oh, yeah. Have you ever been to a party in the county jail? I've been in the county jail over in Larimer. Yeah, it's a nice jail, as jails go. The good news was I could walk out anytime I wanted because there's a state law that says county commissioners must inspect the county jail once a year. So four times I did my duty and I went over and I toured the jail. And yeah, it was just fine. It worked out great. But the prison band was there, and they began to wail. Well, I can guarantee you in the Larimer County Jail, and I'll bet in the Well County Jail, there is not a prison band. I'm just saying. That's probably true. Although Janet Cash did pretty good. Where'd he go? Sing Sing or whatever it was, or one of those prisons. Never mind. Okay, where are we going after the top of the hour? Well, we're going to talk a little bit more about fixing your roads, especially at the bottom of the hour when we get Jared Pyle from CDOT here to help us do that. If you've got questions that you would like us to ask Jared Pyle about the roads while we're talking to him, call in and tell Ryan, 970-353-1310. Call him and he'll make a note of them, and we will ask Jared Pyle when he gets here about your questions about the roads. Try and keep them civil and polite, although Well, I'll do my best to do that as well. I will be a good host and very gracious to him. But if you've got things you want to know about the roads in Colorado, yeah, give us a call and we'll ask him when he's on the air. Kind of let you know. It will be a public service to you, by golly. Well, we need to let you know right now that we are 1310 KFKA, Greeley, Loveland, Fort Collins. It's 8 o'clock.